This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
With Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning, darling man.
Good morning, Melbourne.
Yes.
Don't know about that Pink song, the title of her new track, Beautiful Trauma.
Oh, wow. Well, God knows I've got a bit of trauma in me. We all have.
Maybe that's describing my ex-relationships. We're addicted to social media, aren't we?
Oh, totally. I'm on it now.
Totally addicted to it. What would you?
Completely ignoring you.
Well, I know. What would you do?
I'm busy, Warren.
What would you do if
Let
it went...
Let me just send this message off,
okay,
please.
Okay, bing. What would you do if it went down?
I'd probably be really lost because I live through social media. I live through the screen.
We're so dependent on it now,
be
aren't we?
So good for us, Warren.
You know, in the UK at the moment, Facebook is down.
What?
Facebook is down. I don't think it's... Certainly
People
it was down a little while
crazy.
Ago. And across parts of the US, it hasn't affected us here, but Facebook and Instagram have completely crashed.
Oh, and people, my God.
People are going crazy. They're sending messages to other people in other parts of the world saying, Facebook's down. Can you post it
How
for me?
How do you think it would affect you? Because we bang on about this all the time. Our listeners are probably sick of hearing us going on about, I don't want to be on Facebook anymore, but we're on it all the time, right? How do you think it would actually affect you? Do you think you'd have a lot more time on your hands?
I think I probably would. I mean, it's great for stuff to talk about on air here.
Yes. We use it a lot for content, don't we?
We do use it a lot for content, but I connect with most of my close friends out of Facebook anyway, so I don't think it would impact how I feel about them. But, yeah, I would probably notice it, but my life wouldn't grind to a halt.
No, exactly right.
Would yours?
No, absolutely not.
But I know some people that it would completely.
Oh, totally.
So apparently it's complete mayhem in the UK. No Facebook. Wow. You know, you might be more evolved than me. Well, we know you are anyway.
Well, I don't think I necessarily am. On some things I am emotionally.
Well, new research from the University of Zurich seems to have confirmed that men's brains reward selfish behaviour.
Right.
Whereas women's brains reward generosity. So there's a part of the brain that responds well when women make unselfish decisions, but it doesn't respond as well when men make generous decisions.
Look, I don't know about these studies, darling, because I would say that that's a load of crap because you are such a sensitive, beautiful, generous man. There's nothing selfish about you.
Well, isn't it interesting? Because it doesn't specify of the sample of people in the study whether what they're sexuality was.
Right, okay.
But I'm just wondering if there is a difference because, you know, if you're having a relationship with a girl, you must have the best relationship.
Well, you know what? I'm choosing the wrong girls because every relationship I've had, it's been the opposite. They've all been selfish. Do you know what I mean? So it's not according to that study. Maybe I'm mirroring and recreating my relationship with my mother and father because my mother was the selfish one and my father was the empathic one. So...
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think?
I'm not so sure because I found, like, I've had men with both tendencies.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it is specifically for heterosexual people. I have no idea.
You know
but then again, I know heterosexual guys that are really generous.
Absolutely. Look, to be really honest with you, I don't think gender's got anything to do. Your bits have got nothing to do with your generosity, darling.
Maybe just another part of the brain
that
deals with it.
Yeah.
No, we're not selfish. Have you ever left a bad hotel review?
No, I've never actually left a bad hotel review.
Oh,
I've been a duty
good.
Manager at a hotel and I've had customers come, well, people that stay complain to me every day, which has been quite confronting. But
Have you had any reviews made when you were a duty manager that were unjust or uncalled for?
No, they had every right.
They had every right?
Every right. Yes. What about you?
I left one once. There was this hotel I went to and everything smelled like pee. I don't know what. And I thought, is it just me? Or is it everywhere? I don't know what had gone on there. It was probably just a damp smell or something, but it smelled. It's the only one I've left, but I tend to leave a good one if I think it's good. I feel like
I don't bother.
Don't you?
At all. No.
Well, someone in the UK left a negative review for a hotel and the hotel was shocked to get the review, but I read the review. It's quite, she uses words like it's disappointing, you know, the cleanliness is not. So she wasn't rude or anything, but it was quite a long, lengthy, detailed thing. So she'd gone through. She admitted she had OCD.
Okay.
And she'd gone through the whole hotel with a microscope, you know, there was mold here. There was this. This wasn't clean. And the photos did look pretty bad. I must admit. But she received from a text from the staff.
Oh, my God.
She received a text from the staff and she said, oh, this will be good. This will be a nice response. And the text said, for someone who's never been away before, you do not come across as nervous. In fact, you come across as a nasty piece of work who probably should be put on a diet.
Oh, my God.
As you must hate everything and everyone. And that was the response.
That is nasty. Do you know what I'm giggling about?
What?
Also, I remember, you know what I'm like with technology. Imagine me with technology. I couldn't fix anything. But I always would get people, my TV doesn't work. Can you play? And I remember one time I walked in and this guy was just in his jocks, like an older man, just sitting on his bed while I'm trying to work out his TV not working. Do you have any idea how awkward? And guess what? Couldn't fix it.
Couldn't fix it?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I'll get back to you.
Did you pretend you were pushing buttons or something?
I'll just speak to the manager. But you are the manager. Yeah, I'll get back to you.
Did it work at the end?
No, God no.
Anastasia, last night the Turnbull government's leading Conservative cabinet minister, Immigration Minister Peter Dutton, has made a prediction.
He's a bit of a Dutton, isn't he?
That the same-sex marriage postal survey yes campaign will win. That's what he believes.
Oh, my God.
Which is quite a significant thing because...
It's massive.
He led the push inside cabinet to hold the survey.
There you go.
And he's the first senior Conservative cabinet minister to publicly predict a majority of Australians will support amending the Marriage Act, which is great that he is saying that. But my concern is we don't want to get complacent.
Yeah, I know. Look, I was just about to say I'm feeling quite complacent now that you just said that.
No.
I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to happen. And I think we all are. Like, a lot of us are because we're going, of course it's going to happen. But like you say, you always remind me of this. You say, Anastasia, Trump got in.
And Brexit.
I'll never forget that feeling of the day that we found out. Everybody was so devastated and shocked by it.
Absolutely.
So get complacent.
I was presenting Drive that night.
Yeah, I remember.
And watching it come in on the news was just horrific. Well, I was disbelief.
Yeah, I was presenting an event that night. I was an MC at an event that night, and I'll never forget. No one turned up, and I was
miserable.
Why? Do you know what I mean?
Everybody was
so depressed and in shock. So you're right.
So we need to keep talking to our friends, to our family, because
we need to keep talking about it.
As we saw yesterday, no was painted up in the sky.
Yeah, that's
so
still going on a lot, isn't it?
The no campaign is active. We cannot give up, even though people are saying it's likely yes will win.
Yeah.
It may not.
Yeah, you're spot on, darling.
Yesterday, I was walking puppy dog.
Yes, your puppy dog.
My puppy dog, Fuzzy, and we were walking along and this lady was putting her, it was, you know, before school, and she was putting her kids in her expensive European UK-made four-wheel drive.
Oh, God, I love it.
And her kids were all dressed up in their private school uniforms and school bags and everything and their instruments and everything. There were three of them and she stands them on the road and then I'm walking along with Fuzzy and she looked immaculate. Like, she had all her expensive yoga gear on.
Hilarious.
So a real, you know, stereotypical mum there.
Yeah.
And then she looked up, she goes, oh, my God, I can't believe I came outside in my dirty clothes. And she left them standing on the road and she ran back in so fast. Yeah. She looked immaculate.
Where's my kids gone? They've been run over.
She looked immaculate. I can't believe
that is hysterical.
Do you ever get pocket dialed accidentally?
I get it all the time. You know why? Because my name's Anastasia and it starts with A. And everybody does it. It does my head in because I get really excited that someone's calling me. I pick it up and then I just hear them walking, going to the supermarket.
But be honest, do you listen in case you hear something?
Of course I do. Oh, my God.
Important?
I listen to the point where they've realised it. I'm there. Like, that's how depressing my life is.
So I must have confessed, I sometimes do that too.
Of course
then,
you
then
do.
You give on your, oh, hey, there's
then
nothing.
You go, yeah, nothing's happening. Yeah, exactly.
Social media star Kristen Hancher. She's followed by 3.9 million people
on
Instagram.
What's so special about this chick?
3.9 million people. Mm. and she accidentally live streamed herself having sex. She was enjoying some time alone with her boyfriend, Andrew.
She thought she was alone.
Somebody must have accidentally pressed record on her Instagram story.
She probably sat on her phone. And we're all right up there with her.
Luckily,
her boyfriend.
The camera was facing away from the couple, so there were no visuals to accompany the sounds, but there was the audio.
Oh, how fantastic is that?
And according to one website,
it's not really
Anastasia. Well, 14,000 people were tuned in. With her fans leaving a flurry of comments.
Ow! Oh, that hurts.
But she,
where were they? In a room?
I don't know. They must have been in a room. I don't know where they were. But she, anyway, she's responded. I actually quite like her response. The online star, she posted a picture and she wrote, "Shit happens. You have to move on and keep smiling. Love you guys so much."
Oh, that's
what
adorable.
A great response,
good on
hey?
Her. Well, shit does happen, doesn't it?
Colin, have you ever accidentally pocket dialed someone?
Oh, yeah. It chills you to the core because, you know, you just don't know what you might have said. And one day I looked down at my phone. I could hear something from the direction of my breast pocket, and the phone was in there anyway. It was the CEO of the company that I worked for that I'd accidentally pocket dialed. Luckily, I was only eating a McDonald's cheeseburger and nothing untoward had happened.
Oh, thank God for that.
That sound would have been irritating in itself, though.
Oh, look, you know, the chowing down, so to speak.
Thanks, Colin.
Hey, now, listen, you take Fuzzy for walks all the time, don't you?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Several walks
Do you have him on a leash?
Like, I
do you
take him to off-leash parks? Off-leash areas.
Is there off-leash areas?
There are off-leash areas. Right. Did you see, there was an article actually in The Age.
Why don't you take me there?
Earlier this year, I should take you below.
I'm always on the leash with
well,
him, buddy.
Well, this story may change
some
your mind.
Sometimes, you know what I mean?
I may not be able to take you there because of this. There was a woman and she had a baby on the Port Melbourne off-leash dog beach.
She didn't actually have the baby.
She didn't have
just had a visual of this woman with her legs open going, "Ah, it's out. It's a beautiful girl. Her name is Port Melbourne."
No. The baby was lying on a blanket on the sand. And the person who wrote the article, her dog ran up to the baby and briefly licked it.
Licked
so
it.
So just went licked.
Depends how big the tongue was.
Quickly. Now, the mother called the police. So she called 000.
Right.
And she said to them, "A dog has attacked my baby." But it was a lick, right? And anyway, the owner of the dog got fined $238 for failing to maintain what they call effective control of her dog in an off-leash area.
Wow.
She goes on to define what effective control is, and it means your dog will return to you upon command,
right,
which is fair enough. And also that you will retain a clear and unobstructed view of the dog in the off-leash area, which I agree with. I never let Fuzzy get out of sight. But it also means that your dog does not bother, attack, worry, or interfere with other people or animals.
Right.
So attack, absolutely. But yeah. Then she goes, like, bother...
Yeah.
Worry.
Oh, that's a bit silly.
Or interfere with other people or animals.
Yeah.
But what about the animals? I mean, other dogs come up to Fuzzy all the time and bother him.
And Fuzzy's little, so he probably gets massive dogs that come up to him.
He hides between my legs when it happens. So I'm not so sure about this definition and what it means in terms of being able to take your dog to an
It is a little bit extreme. Maybe she's a wog chick like me. Like, we were afraid of animals. I was never allowed to have
a
dog.
Maybe. And you know what? If you're afraid of animals, you wouldn't go to an off-leash park. And look, dogs should not be near babies.
And you wouldn't give birth to a baby at Port Melbourne Beach.
But I'm not suggesting that anyone was at fault here, but what I am suggesting is I wouldn't take a baby to an off-leash park or an off-leash beach. I just think that that's not an appropriate. But at the same time, dogs shouldn't be around.
Was it just one
babies.
Lick? Do you know how many
It was just a lick. It was just a quick lick. Yeah. And then she noticed.
And like I said, look, at the end of the day, it does depend on how long the tongue was.
Tuesday was World Mental Health Day.
Was it?
Yeah.
Tuesday. I wonder what I was doing on Tuesday. Anyway, go on.
Did you ever take, you're at work and you've got the flu or something. You're obviously sick.
Yes.
And you take the day off.
Of course.
Did you ever take it off if you were feeling stressed or anxious? Or?
Well, look, when I was really young, I've just got to tell you a quick story on this. This is how bad it was, right? I remember being in a car accident and I used to work at a big supermarket. Right. I was the deli chick there, was in a car accident and still went to work limping.
Straight after the car accident.
So I have the visual of me getting out of a car wreck and going straight into work and doing like an 8-hour shift. They were my work ethics. Later, as I grew up and thought, stop people pleasing, you have a right to be sick. That changed, of course.
I used to take pads. I called them pads.
Pads? What
personal
sanitary
admin
pads?
Days. Personal admin days.
Okay. I was going to say, you don't get your period done.
You know, because you're working so hard and I was used to work really hard.
Yes.
And then I just think, I need to do stuff.
Yeah, of
and
course.
I need to do, and if I don't do it, I'm going to get stressed. So I would take them off. But
wow.
There were some guidelines that I was reading about yesterday that's a really good idea if you're not feeling well is to ask yourself these questions. Is going into work going to make you feel better or worse?
Yes.
Most people
Mine always was worse. Yeah.
Will you do a good job at work today? and do you really need to be at work today?
Yeah. And they are really, you know, you need to ask those questions. Geez. Not the other thing that really annoys me, Warren, is when people turn up to work and they've got the flu and they're coughing. Like every time I hear someone cough, my whole blood would be boiling because I'm thinking you're actually sharing your flu with us.
Yeah, I find that quite selfish behaviour. But that's the pressure to go to work, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Hey, I've got a new birthday cake for you.
Oh, my God, have you? It's not my birthday. Yours is coming up, though, next month. We'll have to celebrate, darling.
So, this cake, it's in the shape of a face.
It's
a face, got the hair and everything, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, but she's got pimples.
Oh.
So there's spots and they look, you know.
So it's a she?
It's a she in this picture that I've got here, but you can get any.
It's a birthday cake of a young teenage girl.
Yeah, a young teenage girl. It could be anyone, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, it's got spots.
You've probably got pimples under that beard.
It's got, so I wash my beard. Yeah. And you can squeeze the spots and cream pops out. You squeeze.
Oh, my God, that is disgusting.
You squeeze the spots and cream pops out and you can eat it.
I'm just imagining, happy birthday to you. And then the squeeze, cream comes out and you're licking it.
The cream comes out and everyone
that
takes it, eats it.
And there's
like a chocolate cream underneath.
Let's have one. Your birthday's coming up. I can't wait.
Margaret Thatcher, her culinary creations have been unearthed in a folder which included recipes from the 70s and 80s, which she used to send to
fans. I can't imagine Margaret Thatcher cooking. I thought she would have had maids for that.
The former UK Prime Minister used to serve up a mystery starter every time, which included Philadelphia cheese, curry powder, and a tin of beef.
Oh, yuck! Is she for real?
This was her mystery starter, apparently.
Oh.
So the folder reveals the secrets behind her orange and walnut cake, her lamb chops in a parcel.
Oh, God.
And stuffed courgette maison.
Maison.
Served with prawns and Mornay sauce.
Oh, yuck. Well, hey, darling, I mean, people go pay good money for that kind of stuff now.
They would, but apparently one of her favourite tricks was to top each set dish with a black olive or leftover chicken, shrimps or mushroom.
That is absolutely disgusting. I still can't get past the curry, the Philadelphia cheese and the beef.
Oh, I tell you what, that would be horrible. So maybe it's good that she was a workaholic because she probably couldn't have too many dinner parties. She'd kill
them.
She'd
be in prison.
You ever had done anything stupid at all? My mum used to, with mashed potato, she'd throw like parsnip in.
Parsnip is actually stunning in mashed
hated
potato.
It. I
really
hated
beautiful
it.
With butter and a little bit of cream with the fluff. Wasabi goes really beautiful
wasabi
in mashed potatoes.
Does, yeah.
Tabasco sauce goes really well in mashed potatoes. But your mum's onto it. Parsnips cooked with butter in that oil. Yummy.
You know what I like putting in is cheese.
Yes.
And melting it.
Yeah,
oh,
well, I
do.
So yummy. Hey, now, listen, what would you do if you had a friend or friends or family members, do you, I ask the question, that are thinking of voting no for the postal
That's
survey?
A really interesting question, isn't it? Because I've had a couple of friends that have sort of been unsure and I was quite shocked thinking, what?
How could you even be unsure about
How
something like
you
that?
How can you be unsure about that? But what I found is having a conversation with them and telling them, look, you know, explaining it and why should I not be allowed to marry but you can and also why should you be given
How
the right
insulting. As you
to
just said
judge?
That, as you just said that I got triggered when you said allowed to marry because how insulting
it is. It's completely
insulting.
It's completely
insulting
that
we're actually even having this conversation.
Exactly. Now these people did not see it from that perspective,
of course.
And of course they went, oh my goodness, yes, and they voted yes in the end. But had they continued to vote no, I'm not so sure I would have kept a friendship.
Yeah,
I don't know how I could.
Well, how do you keep a friendship if you don't share the same values and beliefs with somebody?
Well, exactly,
really, I mean, you don't have to agree about everything, but this is a human right.
Absolutely.
This is a human right. And when someone says, actually, you don't deserve the same quality of life like I do, well, hey, guess what, buddy? I'm not sure whether you deserve my friendship.
I completely
really,
agree with
you.
Really,
it does become that. And I think about my parents. They're 80-year-old, you know, Greeks. And they it's a no-brainer for them as well. Like, why are we injecting so much money into something that who cares what other people do? I mean, that's their thing. Who cares what other people do? It doesn't matter.
We could have done so much else with that $122 million. But,
yeah.
You know, It's there. It's happening.
And
people are thinking about voting no. And I've noticed a lot of stuff on social media about people saying, you know,
Warren,
if you're going to vote no, unfriend me.
Darling, there'd be so many people that would be voting no.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
and it goes back to that whole complacency thing. Let's not just assume that everybody's doing the yes thing.
Yeah, so for me, if someone's voting no and they're my friend, I don't want to be their friend because they're not really respecting me.
I think we're going to have to go through our Facebook friends again.
We have to do another couple. We'll have five friends.
I've only
got
two left now. You know, I've only got two. I'm the third friend on my own Facebook page.
We'll just be friends with each other. You went to the doctor this week.
I did go to the doctor, which I usually don't go.
You're a bit of a hypochondriac.
A bit? Hello? You know what's really embarrassing about being a hypochondriac? Like, you know how I've been complaining about my lower back? Like, oh my God, it really hurts. It really hurts. I'm scared. There's something wrong with me. My tummy hurts. Something's so very wrong with me, Warren. Well, you know what was actually really embarrassing? The doctor actually checked my back and she said, have you had a massage of late? And I said, no, I haven't, because it's just your glutes. They're really tense. Like,
so you just need someone to massage.
So I just need a glute massage. That's it. So that was the back problem. Then she turns me around and we work on the stomach. And she's pressing into it and she's like, does it hurt there? Now, I was really paranoid because I thought, I'm going to blow her face off if she keeps pushing. Because I swear to God, I was going to let one rip so loud. And you know what was even more embarrassing? The more she pressed, like, she's going, what about there? And we both could hear that, the tummy, right? She's going, see, there's a lot of gas in there. Can you hear it? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I so can hear it.
You're going to hear it.
You're going to hear it. And I'm going to blow your face off if you keep pressing. So that dealt with that problem. I've got low iron and whatever. The other really embarrassing thing was, I said, I've got another problem. She said, what's that? I said, I've got, you know, my nails have got a bit of plaque on them. She goes, oh, you've got fungal nails. And I said, well, if you want to put it that way, I thought to myself, right? And she goes, okay, well, she goes, look, we'll take a nail clipping. She gave me this little tube, put it in, and she'd say, it takes a month. And I said to her, a month? I felt like saying to her, like, I haven't got a month. Like, what if someone was to suck on my toes? Like, hello, it's summer. So I'm going to have to start painting my nails pink.
You're going to have to paint them. You're going to have to cover them.
Bloody hell. Anyway, that was my experience. But hey.
So you're okay.
I'm okay. My iron's very low, darling. But hey, let's you also went to a doctor, but another kind of doctor. You went to an energy healer.
Well, a friend of mine is an energy healer.
Yes.
And I thought, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. And you know me.
Engineering
background, nerd as.
Yeah, nerd alert. Wouldn't believe
anything.
Not
into this at all. But I went and I was lying there and apparently my aura was completely out.
Right.
Like it was completely. Anyway, he fixed that, which was wonderful.
Okay, I wonder what colour you were.
But my feet started twitching when he was doing it, and I couldn't tell.
Was he actually pressing
my feet? Or, I don't know.
What was he actually doing? I just had a horrible visual.
I don't know, but it was really, really good. And then he said, "I'm getting it. Someone's coming to visit."
I just imagined your feet curling at the ends of time.
They were curling.
What was he doing?
He was doing things to me. I don't know what he was doing. I had my eyes
again,
closed.
Again, I've always said to you, check the entrance wherever you go. Are you sure it was an energy healer and it wasn't a massage parlor?
No, he was really. I felt amazing afterwards. Honestly, I really did. I felt like.
He wasn't a sex worker, you
he
sure?
Was, he wasn't.
Like, I'm just checking.
I felt completely rebalanced.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
but it got
amazing.
A bit spooky because I had a visit from my grandfather while I was there.
Unpack it. Talk us through
it. He said a few nice things.
Have you ever met your grandfather?
No, I haven't.
No.
I never met him, but I have spoken to him over the phone, but I never met him. But, he was talking to me and he was
saying. Now, he's deceased, your grandfather,
He is, and
but not the other day.
But it was quite scary because he did say, he said, Warren, I like how you're very similar to me in that you're using your voice. Now, how's that? My friend did not know anything about my grandfather at all.
God.
Did not know anything about him.
You sure he didn't stalk you on Facebook?
He was
before?
On radio. He was on radio. My grandfather was on radio and was a singer. How's that?
Oh, my God.
So all of a sudden I went from this non-believer to, oh, my goodness, this is serious stuff.
Well, hey, it could be. So your grandfather years ago, this would have been, what, in the 1930s?
Yeah.
Was a broadcaster.
Yep.
And you loved to do the Lombardo. This makes so much
and
sense.
And he said, tell Warren that he is so much like me. So how's
this
that?
This is actually quite amazing.
Isn't it?
Oh, I love it. You need to see this guy again and keep us updated.
I'm going to go
stuff.
Back and
Maybe
I'm going to let you
go for an energy
yeah,
healing.
I think you should go too.
I might
we're
meet
both
going to
go. But have I got it more? Apparently, my glow
You've
is
You've got a massive aura
is
around your head
today,
at
so.
The moment. Yeah, no, it's a massive bow.
So I'm feeling good.
It's purple.
We'll go and Christmas. We'll talk about it. You're on Joy. Time to get a bit serious.
Okay.
You know, we're all focused on the postal poll at the moment.
Mm.
And I'll have to admit it's been distracting me. I've been watching some of the commentary, the pluses and the minuses. And what it's done, it's sort of forgotten about what else is going on in politics and in the world. And something really disturbed me this week, and that was our former Prime Minister Tony Abbott telling a gathering in London that even if climate change is real, it could be good because what? More how, people, this is what he said. He said more people die in cold snaps.
Oh, my God.
Like he's conveniently forgetting the number of people who die in heat waves or those that are displaced by rising sea levels. Or, you know, the destruction that's occurred here because of bushfire threats and it's happening in California at the moment. What a goof.
Yeah, he's a goose.
He's a complete goose.
He's an absolute goose.
And, you know,
a goose that used to be our Prime Minister.
The government actually produced...
These are the kind of people that get into Parliament.
I know, and they produced a report. The government produced a report several years ago saying that there'll be more than 2,000 heat-related fatalities in 2050 compared with about 500 recorded in 2011. So 2,000 in 2050, and that's according to a federal government report. And he also said, he's not a scientist, but he backed it up. He said, oh, look, you know, I can tell because I've been looking at photographs of Manly Beach in Sydney, which is in his electorate of Warringah, on Sydney's northern beaches, and he could see no evidence of climate change.
Oh, my God.
By
how
just
can you not
looking
see any evidence
at
of climate
beaches.
Change? Oh, my
How's
God.
How's that? I think Tanya Plibersek labelled the speech as just nuts.
Yeah, well, he's nuts. He's completely nuts.
Crazy. Londoners have been stunned. They thought, you know, they were quite concerned that there was a crocodile, a saltwater crocodile.
Oh, my God.
In the River Thames. And you look at the photos and it looks exactly like one, like its head's popping out and it's heading towards a boat. The police were called, right? There was almost this alert. There was panic, whatever. A crocodile in the River Thames. Someone had dumped a garden ornament. But it looks exactly like it. It's a similar size. How's that?
Oh, it's not funny, but it's funny.
Don't dump your garden gnomes in the river. News overnight, another international technology giant has decided to support the marriage equality campaign.
Oh, yes.
PayPal.
Oh.
Is pledging to match up to $50,000 in donations to the Yes campaign.
That is so wonderful.
That follows on from Google, Uber, Twitter, Hewlett-Packard and Apple as well.
So that is so good.
That's
Say
pretty good,
yes.
isn't it? Getting companies are getting behind it. Wasn't there a church that donated $1 million to the No
exactly.
campaign?
Exactly.
So we need to balance it out.
That's right. Hey, Warren, you know what's really funny?
What?
Yesterday my boss, oh, my God, I've got such a crush on her. She's the sexiest woman I've actually ever seen. Every time she speaks,
she listens.
Voice.
She'll know. Now.
Oh, no. I hope she's not. Well, if she is, bad luck. But she's like, Anastasia, can you go get some change? We don't have enough change for the till. And I said, yeah, sure. And I'm like creaming my pants. Anyway, I go over to the bank and it felt like I walked into a hair salon. Like it was really bizarre.
So different,
there was
isn't
only
it?
One teller there, but she was in like this, the front desk initially. And I went up and I said, I need some 20 senses and some 10 senses. And she goes, okay, I'll meet you in about a minute just over there. In a minute, just over there. So I sit down on this loungy couch. But it felt like a salon. I was like, oh, I'll just get my perm while I wait.
They're so totally different, aren't they?
It was so weird. Then I went over to that where she wanted to meet me and she gave me over the bags of change. But honestly, I did feel like I got a brand new hairdo. It was so bizarre.
Did she offer you a cup of coffee?
No, she didn't offer me any of that. But the whole time she was serving me, I did think Warren would make a really lovely teller.
Why?
Because I don't know, because you've got a beautiful, lovely, friendly smile. And
do you know when I was studying at uni, I was a teller.
You didn't.
I was a teller at one of the major banks.
Oh, my God. Can you count the notes really quickly?
Yeah, like, I could do that.
Would you spit on your finger first? Like
no, there was a little dirty pad thing that everyone stuck their fingers in to be able to do it. But I did do it.
I'd always forget and spit on my fingers if I was a teller.
Several times I made the mistake. I pulled the thing out that set the screen off. I think I nearly gave one guy a heart attack. But on Monday, Oprah visited. She was on
Oprah. Oprah goes to a bank.
She was on Ellen's YouTube series where she played this game of burning questions. And during the segment, Ellen asked what Oprah's ATM PIN number was.
Oh, you're kidding!
And she replied, "I don't have one." And then she added, "I went to the bank recently because I hadn't been since 1988."
Wow.
Which is fair enough. You think,
yeah,
you know, a lot of us don't
who
go.
Goes to banks these
who
days
needs
except
to?
Greek wogs.
When asked what she went to the bank for, the 63-year-old said, "To deposit $1 million. I stood in line just to do it. I felt fantastic. Actually, it was $2 million. What?
Hold on.
Why on earth would you tell people you that deposit $2 million? I mean, people were watching Oprah for inspiration.
Yeah.
People haven't got that sort of money and she's flaunting it.
If I knew that, I'd be there with my fake pistol under my jumper waiting for her. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know. My respect for Oprah just went out the window.
Yeah,
with that.
Totally.
That's it for us.
Oh, what?
We're back tomorrow.
I reckon we should be back to back till tonight, 10 o'clock. What do you mean? I'm not going anywhere, buddy.
Right,
I'll see you tomorrow morning, darling.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.